Goodness. Well, praise the Lord. You know, if you're struggling today, you're in a good place. You are. This is a place where we haven't arrived. There's no partiality in the house of God. We don't cater to certain people and not to others. That's not what the church is about. This is not about whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or whatever. We are Christians here. Amen. And we serve Jesus, you know, and that's what this is about. You might have questions. You might even be here today and be struggling with some issues with God. It's okay. Keep struggling. Keep searching for answers. Keep looking to Him as your source, you know. I will tell you this. I've never gone to God and asked Him a question where He didn't provide an answer. There are times, though, that I feel like He's silent. And sometimes in those times, it's not a matter of necessarily me having to dig deeper. It's sometimes I just need to listen and act upon what He has spoken already. Sometimes He'll use another person to speak into my life. And sometimes maybe I don't want to hear what that person has to say to me. Because maybe I got an issue with that person. And I find more often than not, God will use all kinds of circumstances. For crying out loud, in the Bible, He used a donkey to speak, okay? And if He can use a donkey, He can certainly use any one of us, right? I'm not comparing us to donkeys, all right? But the bottom line is this. Let's listen. Let's listen to God. See what He's saying. See what people, you know, around your life. Maybe you're hearing a consistent message. And maybe it doesn't always look how you want it to look. But God is faithful. I'm going to tell you, if you're a Christian here today, if you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, He's got you. He's got you. He has got your back. He is not going to let you go. He's not going to just dangle you out over the flames. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to go through trial and affliction in this life, because we all do, and it doesn't matter if you have journeyed for years and years or if you're just fresh in the journey. But I'm going to tell you right now, the place to stay is with Him. The place to stay is with Jesus, because that is a safe place in this life. And no matter what you go through, He is going to fill your heart with the things that you need to get through that circumstance. You know, circumstances happen to every one of us, and we're talking in this, it's kind of turned into a bit of a mini-series on trust. And we started with Proverbs 3, the scriptures that talk about trusting in the Lord with all your heart, leaning not on your understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledging Him and letting Him direct your path. See, too many times you and I want to get in the driver's seat, don't we? And we want to take the wheel, and we want to determine, this is how my life is going to be. And sometimes God is saying, take your hands off the wheel, friend. Let me have the wheel. And I'm not talking about just the old country song, let Jesus have the wheel. But yet there's truth in that song, isn't there? I know some of the most knuckleheaded things I've ever done in my Christian life have been because I have insisted that this is the way, when God is wanting to take me a completely different way. See, sometimes we don't understand what He's doing in the middle of a circumstance, but what we've been talking about, and last week what it led up to, was this. We are all going to be in the fire, aren't we? Because just because you start with Jesus, just because you decide, I am going to live for Him, okay, that's really where refining starts. That's really where the furnace starts to kick up in your life, because God is not going to leave you in your current state. We are called to become more and more like Jesus every day of our lives. And I will tell you that the flames of affliction and the flames of refining are good things for us. That's why in James chapter 1, it does say there that to consider it pure joy, okay? When we go through the various trials, because it produces patience, it produces kingdom fruit in our lives. It's the very thing that lets the ugliness, the things that are inside of us come to the surface, not so we can sit there and stare at them, but so that we can have them removed from our lives and we can be more of a reflection of Jesus to the world around us. It doesn't always feel good when we're in that place, though, does it? It starts when we accept Jesus. See, we all carry stuff into our relationship with God, and we all need for God to help us identify the root issues, pull those things up, and replace them with what was intended to be planted there in the first place. As we've mentioned, people are constantly dealing with identity. They're constantly dealing, what am I supposed to do with my life? And even you could be serving Jesus for 50 years and you might be saying to yourself right now, God, what am I supposed to do with my life? Anybody ever been there? Yeah. I watch people all the time wrestle with these things. And honestly, it's really kind of crazy, but I think there were times early on in my Christian walk, I almost handled it better when God would take me this way than when I've been entrenched in a certain way of doing things for years and years and years, and all of a sudden God wants to go in a different direction, and I'm no. But He's wanting to go over here. Sometimes we need to have our hearts softened again, don't we? Sometimes we need to come to grips with what's really on the inside, and we need to see things as they are. God has a way of using what life throws at us, okay, to produce His character in our lives. In other words, kingdom fruit. It's the shifting around of life in us that brings to the surface all these things. Again, not to focus on these things, but that they could be removed. Here's a couple things. I'm not going to grocery list all of it, but things like unforgiveness. Things like bitterness, things like victim. I'm always a victim. I always have a trail of woe in my life. All of these things that happen, fears that I have, they're all barriers to the new life that we have in Christ. So these issues, that even like we talked about last week, we talked about the different scriptures that were foundational. They're foundational for us to be successful in living out our lives and kingdom living overall. It requires us, though, to be open and honest with the Lord, and not just with the Lord, with one another, you see? And that's something that sometimes is difficult because some of us have real serious trust issues. I've been there. I've been very forthright with you, been very hurt in the church through 25 plus years. Very hurt. I've been hurt more in the church than I have anywhere. But it's still the greatest life-giving vessel that God wants to use. And it doesn't always make sense. But you know what? I want to be a part of something that is going to be an accurate reflection to the world around us. I want to be part of something that's going to be a force in the world, that's going to be the true light, that's going to be true salt. I don't want to be a roller coaster Christian. Everything's going my way, I'm just fine. Everything's down in the dumps, and I'm down in the dumps. We talked about Eeyore Christianity. It's going to rain today. You know? And then we talked about Tigger Christianity. I don't know, maybe we need to find somewhere in the middle, you know? The wonderful thing about Tigger is, I don't know that we have to be here or here. Maybe we can find a way to be a little more even-keeled in things. Amen? Okay, so a few weeks back, and I still have the chair up here for a reason. We saw that there was a bridge that was between worldly hope and kingdom hope. Between uncertainty and certainty. And that bridge is faith. Faith is a gift from God. Ephesians 2:8 says this, by grace you've been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's the bridge between uncertainty and certainty. Trust, then, on the other hand, is the action that puts our faith into motion. Okay? It puts our faith in action. And, okay, so here's faith. Faith is me recognizing that the chair, okay, and it is here. And I recognize it. It's there. I believe the chair is there. And trust, on the other hand, is when I actually sit in the chair, okay? Trust is when I sit in the chair. You see the difference between the two? It's a huge difference. It has potential. Now, the other thing that we did is we had another chair over here, and I have it back there, but it was a folding chair. Folding chair is more kind of a temporary thing. It's mobile. I can just kind of move it around, and it's really not the comfortable chair that God, it's not the chair that God has prepared for me. And sometimes we settle for that chair rather than actually sitting in the true chair of faith that the Lord has for us. But as I trust God, and as I'm called to trust over and over and over with whatever it may be that I'm going through, there is great things that happen in my life. Trust is the very thing that brings us to a place of being confident and resolute in our approach to serving God. Resolute, it's firm, it's done. There's a resolute, it's done. It's that place of knowing. It's that place of sitting in the confidence and resting in the hope and the glory of our Lord Jesus. It's the certainty that carries us through the difficulty and continues to refresh us and restore us and sustain us. See, this is the fruit of a life built on no other foundation. Because, friends, you're building your life on something. You're either building it on Jesus or you're building it on something else. You're either building it on the rock or you're building it on the sand. And I'm going to tell you right now, when the waves of life come, when the winds of life come, if you got your life built on sand, you know what's going to happen to that, don't you? But if your life is built on the rock, life is going to happen to you and it's going to stand. If your faith, if your trust is in Jesus, you're going to withstand the storms of life. Every single one of us, don't think that you're immune to having to go through trials in this life. Holy Spirit spoke to us a few weeks back, and He showed us how if we will learn to bow before the King, King Jesus, when life is the furnace of life is turned up and we're in the heat of it. If we will learn to bow in those moments, we will rise in freedom, friends. What is your furnace? What does yours look like? I don't know. Yours looks different than mine, but we all got one. But remember, the fire of God, it's not meant to destroy you. It's meant to refine you. The fire of God is always about refining you, not destroying you. Malachi 3:3, listen to this. He will sit as a refiner. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. They will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Isaiah 48:10 says, "Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I've tried you in the furnace of affliction." Okay? Job 23:10, and we know Job, he had a real easy life, didn't he? Had some really good friends, curse God and die, you know, those kind of friends. Wonderful wife, all of it. But he knows the way that I take, this is Job, and when he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. You know, we could go on and on with scriptures, but one of the ones I really like is in 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 6. It says, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials." Anybody go through trials and they just kind of grieve you? They do. "You've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, it may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." The thing that we need to understand here, we are admonished, we are encouraged to rejoice through the trial. Why? Because we are being refined. But not only that, as we trust in the trial, we trust Jesus in the trial, we receive the fruit of praise and glory and honor to the Lord. One of the brief scriptures I mentioned at the end of the service last week was Romans 15:13. God has just been pounding this into my spirit, okay? And this is really kind of where we're going today. The God of hope fills us with all joy. Everybody say all joy. All joy. The God of hope fills us with all joy in believing. Everybody say in believing. In believing. He fills you and I with all joy in believing, in trusting, okay? In fact, it says that we will abound in hope. We will abound in joy, friends. When I trust God in the trial, I live in faith. And the fruit of believing is joy. The fruit of trusting God is joy. Now, here's what happens. Here's the question that I keep getting asked by God. When the fires of life, place that I don't understand, or I'm around people that I don't necessarily like, or they rub me the wrong way, will I stay and remain in the chair? What about this, friend? You wake up one day. And you go and you have your devotions and you go to sit in the chair. And the chair moved. What do we do then? Oh. What we tend to do? You see what I'm saying? We pull it back. And God takes it back. It's not scratching up here, if some of you are wondering. All right. You see the yo-yo ride that we go on? What God, well, I know this is where God's at, right here. How can he possibly be over there? Well, how would you know? You didn't stay in the chair. See, friends, trust cannot be anchored in whether my circumstance agrees with what I think it should be. My trust cannot be based upon whether or not the prayer I pray is answered the way that I think it should be answered. My trust in God has to be active whether I am here or there. Because when I'm here, friends, God is here. God is not stagnant. He doesn't just sit. He's moving constantly. He doesn't change himself, but he changes his methods. He changes things that we do as Christians in reaching people. Pray a prayer like this, and you say, God, I want to go deeper with you. Let's see how deep he wants to go with me. Because what happens when the chair moves, when the furnace of our lives get turned up, okay? God brings more things to the surface. He brings more things to the surface. And I'm going to tell you, the God of hope has not changed. Because what does the Bible tell us? He changes not, right? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the same God who loves you and cares for you. It's the same God that was with you 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 100 years ago. It's the same God who was with Moses that's with us today. But thank God we're not climbing up Sinai anymore. I am determined in my life to stay in the chair, regardless of what life brings my way. You know, a while back, think about this. I was dealing, I can't remember the exact situation. It was, I was counseling some friends from long ago. I guess it wasn't that long ago, but there's some people that were still coming to me for some counsel that I'd known in the past. And I was getting frustrated. There were some things that were happening, and I was just really letting it get to me. Now, those of you know, I have a son who's here today, praise God, Luke and Lacey, my daughter-in-law, and I have my daughter, Emma.
And I remember we were just sitting there kind of talking about a few things at the table, Kelly and I, and she looked at me and she said something that I'll never forget. And you may have heard this before. But she said, "Dad, you give way too much power to those people in that circumstance." And I was like, "Oh, well, you're only 17. Do you ever realize how much power we give to circumstances and people? Do you realize how we let people affect us and jolt us in a way that all of a sudden I'm getting out of the chair? The circumstance comes, the fire comes, this person says one thing and this person says that, and then all of a sudden what God does is He reveals something that's on the inside of me. But instead of staying in the chair and letting Him do the refining work that He wants to do, I get out of the chair and I either resurrect the old chair or I get out of it completely and I start wandering around and I start doing things in my own strength." In Psalms 20, verse 7, it says, "We don't trust in horses and in chariots." What that represents is the means of man. It means the abilities of man. You and I cannot trust in the abilities of man because they will always fail. There's only one thing in this life that will never, ever fail you. We sung about it this morning. You will never, ever, ever let me down. He won't, friend. He's not going to let you down. And just because the world feels like it's caving in around you doesn't mean that He's letting you down. He will sustain you in this world, because in this world you're going to have trouble. You are going to have things that you deal with. We are going to face sickness. We are going to face crisis. We are going to face family situations that are absolutely overwhelming. You know, there are times that I've watched people kind of push away, and even from Holy Spirit and Pentecost and all that. And sometimes I ask, why would you do that? You know, that's the God gave us incredible gifts. He gave us divine gifts from heaven to pray for one another. And why would you do that? Can I just, I heard it said this way. You know, every family's got a crazy uncle. But you don't leave the family just because you got a crazy uncle. Everybody's got that in their life. And friend, it goes the same way with trust. Sometimes you are overwhelmed. You are in a wilderness and you're saying, "God, where are you?" Stay in the chair. Stay in the chair. And if He moves the chair, you're moving with Him. And so much of the time we get in this tug of war match and we're just like, "Oh, I want to go back over here. It was over here." And I know it looks ridiculous of me tugging on this little chair here, because it doesn't take much to move it. But do you understand what I'm saying here? Yeah. That's not the way that you and I are supposed to live. My believing cannot be based on a favorable outcome to my circumstances. Now you got to understand something. Romans 15, 13 is so key to our lives. Sometimes we think the joy. Now, if you're praying something, Pastor, and you get the answer to that prayer, there's naturally going to be joy that comes to your life. But that's not really the joy of heaven necessarily. The joy of heaven comes in believing. Yeah. It comes in trusting God. Yeah. Whether you get the outcome you want or not, whether your loved one is serving God or not, you can still experience joy. Whether you're healed or not, you see, you still can trust God. Amen. Now, I will tell you this, and I'm going to just camp here for a second. Divine healing is one of our cardinal doctrines. You know, it's one of the hallmarks of the Assemblies of God. We believe that when you will lay your hands upon the sick, they shall recover. We believe and we trust God for that, because we're called to. But I also know that there's been some abuse out there where it heaps all the responsibility on the individual to muster up enough faith. My faith is in trusting God. I activate my faith when I trust God. I'm going to tell you right now, there's a man in here. Where are you at, Randy? Amen, right there. One valve right now. One valve in his heart. He was supposed to die when he was a little baby. How many surgeries? Countless. 5 surgeries. All kinds of different things that have happened. He's gone through. And he's still here and he's serving God and he's still trusting God. Now I'm going to tell you right now, that's a miracle right there. That is a miracle. And we have equally prayed for complete and total divine intervention and healing, that the valves would be all restored and everything. And we believe that that will happen. But see, here's the thing. There's a lot of people that will sit in that chair as long as I see and have that actual thing come to pass. But I'm going to tell you what, he's still sitting in the chair. He has not seen absolutely everything come about. But I'm going to tell you, in the midst of this fiery trial that he's had in his life, he has touched more lives for Jesus than otherwise. And that's what God can do if we will just sit and trust Him. Friends, we still have to pray. We still have to believe. We still have to have faith. We still have to trust and sit in the chair of faith. We have to. But friends, that's where we have to leave the results in God's hands. Because sometimes He will answer immediately. And there are also times that there's a delay. I don't understand all that, okay? I don't understand why you could pray for this person and they're healed and this person over here and they don't see it in this life. Sometimes they pass into the next life. All I know is that you and I are called to pray. We are called to believe. We are called to trust God no matter what comes our way. And we are called to ask God to intervene on their behalf in Jesus' name. That's what we're called to do. And I apologize for some of these quacks out there that put so much responsibility. They tell people that they don't have enough faith. That's wrong. That's bad teaching. It's not the Bible. And I'm going to tell you, it's out there. And it makes people feel horrible about themselves. Well, I don't have enough faith. No, you have all the faith you need, but you do need to sit and trust. And even if I don't see it come to pass, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were faced before the king and they said, even if he doesn't bring us out, that's okay. We're not going to bow down. Because they knew that even if they were set free from the furnace and they went to heaven, they were going to be with the King of Glory forever and ever. How much better is that? I mean, in reality, thank you, Jesus. It can't be based on our circumstances. It's got to be based on the God of those circumstances. I'm coming in for a landing. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, Justin, and put our altar music on if you would. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Here's a question. What aspects of my life do I trust Him with? In those scriptures that we read, it says, in all your ways acknowledge Him. All of your ways acknowledge Him. Not just some. Everything. Your past. Your present. Your future. Never forget where you come from, but don't stay there underneath the weight of who you once were. You use where you came from to motivate you for your future. You want to know why I keep going strong for Jesus? There's times that I get down and there's times that I feel overwhelmed. This morning I was praying for the church. I was just sitting in my driveway this morning. I was just sitting out there in the chair having a cup of coffee and just kind of looking out. And one by one, the Lord just started showing me faces of the church, different ones. And I just, one by one, I just went through.
And I did. I said, Kathy and Larry, I trust you with them, Lord. I trust you with Walt and Billy. I trust you with Wayne and Michelle, Pam, Lexi, Randy. I trust you with Mike and Crystal, Lord, and Bill and Rosie, and Brenda. I trust you with my kids, Lord. I trust you with Luke and Lacey and Emma and Rebecca. I trust you with Helen and Dan and Bob and Linda. You see, I was just placing my trust in Jesus, and sometimes you got to fight. Because I know every one of you are going through things, whether it be recovering from a shoulder, or maybe you feel like you're in a wilderness, or maybe you're just dealing still with some family trauma, or whatever it might be. But we have to trust God. We have to trust God. And sometimes when these things happen in our lives, we get out of the chair. And there's times we come to a place where we just absolutely fall down. And we're just sitting here. And we're wallowing, and we want to get back in the chair, but there's so much hurt and there's so much pain. And it's like we're just laying on the ground down here. And we don't know what to do. But it's in those moments that we cry out and we say, Lord, I need some help. And then in those moments, God will send some brothers and sisters around you. And they'll reach down and they'll give you a hand up. And they'll hold you in those moments. And then you'll talk and they'll give you direction. And they'll plead with you to trust God. But friends, ultimately, I love Bruce and Rodney with all my heart. But they can't put me in the chair. They can point to the chair. But ultimately, I've got to get back up. And I've got to get back in the chair. Some of you have had trust broken in your lives. You're having a hard time trusting. You went through a crisis. You've gone through a traumatic illness. And you're asking God, why haven't I been healed? I see some other people that get healed. I'm not healed. Why? Some of you don't understand the issues that you're going through. And you've gotten out of the chair. I'm going to tell you, when you sit in the chair and you stay in the chair, do you remember the fruit of that decision? It's joy. How do we have joy in the midst of the trial? We trust God. Because when I'm trusting Him, I'm sitting in faith. When I'm trusting Him, it doesn't matter what happens around me. Take me for a ride, Lord. I'm okay. I'm not talking about never experiencing pain. I'm not talking about just grinning it till you know, grin and bear it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in the midst of your comes in and He repairs your heart. And He holds you. And He surrounds you with His love. And He takes that ugly thing. He takes maybe that bitterness you've been carrying. He takes that distrust that you've carried for years and years and years. Can I say this to you, friend? If you can't trust anybody, there's something wrong. There's something wrong if you can't trust anybody in life. If you can't give anybody the benefit of the doubt. See, we're called to believe good things about people. We're called to believe that God can change the vilest of sinners.